Hello and welcome to Let's Talk IVF. Our aim is to cut through the overwhelming amount of clinical information and give you a clearer understanding about the science, the emotional impact, and everything in between. Hosted by Sophia Beziotto, a scientist with 25 years of experience in the field of fertility, we want to thank you for listening. Now, let's get started.
Today on the podcast, we have the wonderful Nick Bathurst, and I'll let Nick introduce himself to you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Very exciting. Yeah, so I'm a plant-based dietitian who had actually been, I've been a dietitian for nearly 30 years. Back in 2013, I got breast cancer, and it made me reevaluate a lot of things in my life. I totally turned my life upside down, but one of the things it made me do was take a deep dive into the research and have a look at how I can avoid getting cancer again myself. And I discovered that there is a mountain of, you know, research over the last sort of like 40, 50 years that really support eating more plants. And so I just began a transition of, you know, moving towards plant-based, and I'm now pretty much 100% plant-based.
Fantastic. Well, you are the perfect woman to ask these wonderful questions. I'm a vegan myself, and I have been now for at least 2 years, maybe a little bit longer. So with that in mind, let's ask some juicy questions so that we can get some knowledge and wisdom from you. Can we talk a little bit about protein in a vegan diet?
That was probably the biggest hurdle for me to overcome, because I had gone to a university where the Dairy Corp and the Meat and the Livestock Corporation had funded the department. So it was very big on, you know, meat and, of course, the food pyramid. You know, we really think that we need to be eating meat to get our protein. Whereas in actual fact, you know, if you're eating enough calories, you're eating enough protein. You know, we are protein obsessed. And, you know, if you really want to, you know, get specific, the bulk of the protein in a plant-based diet is from the legumes. So that's your beans and your lentils. Now, beans and lentils are just amazing because they're not just protein. They're half protein and half resistant starch, which is a really amazing type of fiber, which doesn't resist getting absorbed in the small intestine, makes its way down to the large intestine and feeds your good gut bacteria. So it is really amazing. And I love to tell a little story here, because there is an Aussie guy called Andrew Spud Fit Taylor, and he did an experiment. Long story, but he did an experiment and he ate potatoes for a year. He lost 50 kilos.
Oh, now, gosh. He was
it's a very masculine model, not one for us girls. But he was monitored the whole way through by his GP.
Right.
And basically, at the end, his GP said, if I didn't know any better, these are the blood tests, these are the results that I would expect from a top athlete. So there was no way that he was missing out on any protein. So interesting, isn't it?
It is very, very interesting, because that's one of the biggest myths with the vegan diet. So I'm glad that you spoke about that. Now, another one is calcium. So what about calcium? Is this something that is potentially a problem in a vegan diet?
Not really. We, you know, once again, we're obsessed with having our yogurt and our cheese. I've got to have my dairy, I've got to have my calcium. And I mean, rightly, we need to be, you know, making sure we are eating foods that contain calcium so that we, you know, don't risk getting osteoporosis. But one of the reasons that the RDI, the recommended daily intake of calcium, is so high is because it has to take into account the fact that so much of our diet is acidic. And, you know, even dairy itself is acidic. So, you know, acid foods and, you know, and meat and coffee and alcohol all increase the excretion of calcium in the urine. So, you know, let that sink in for a little while. And then, you know, really there is an abundance of calcium, really, you know, a calcium that is very easily available to the body, because dairy is not that easy. So soy. And as long as your soy is organic, there's nothing wrong with soy. All of your beans and lentils, your nuts, especially almonds, your seeds like tahini, you know, that's made from, you know, sesame seeds, the chia and the flax, even some of your grains, your gluten-free grains. Now, they're not very common, but like teff and amaranth, you know, you have to make sure you were having enough calcium. That's something you could introduce. Seaweed, your leafy greens. I know that, you know, if any of your listeners are very educated, they'll say, oh, no, but some of the leafy greens have a high oxalate content, which inhibits the absorption of calcium, which is very true. That's your spinach and your beetroot greens. But boiling, so putting those types of vegetables with the high oxalate in something like a soup will reduce that oxalate and make that calcium more bioavailable. And then there's lots of low oxalate greens like broccoli and kale. So, wow. You know, and even some of your fruit, you know, figs and oranges and your berries, and then good old blackstrap molasses, you know, that's like, you know, calcium and iron and magnesium.
So we're getting plenty of calcium. There's no problems. Plenty. Oh, well, that's good news. I'm glad we dispelled that myth. Now, I guess in terms of the vegan diets, and I know that you would speak to a lot of people about what they're eating, are there any supplements that vegans should be taking?
I think that possibly B12. And there's a bit of a myth here that meat eaters are just as deficient in B12 as plant-based people.
Right.
So it's really more that I would recommend that you just have an annual blood test.
Okay.
And, you know, that way that you can monitor everything. You know, your B12, your vitamin D, your Bs, your cholesterol. And you know, well, if you're totally plant-based, you won't be needing to worry about cholesterol. But, you know, it just gives you a really good overview of,
yes,
you know,
yes,
what you need. And then I know that I'm pretty sure it's Dr. McDougall just recommends buying a B12 that has a very low dose and just take, you know, one every couple of days until it's run out and you'll be fine.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So in terms of vegan diets, what are some of the most common mistakes people make when they're about to go vegan?
They go to the shops and they buy vegan mayonnaise and vegan meat and vegan chips and vegan... You can see me. If you can see me, I'm just cringing.
The marketing dream.
Oh, I tell you, it's just, and I feel really bad because I'll go to, you know, my friends' places and they're trying to impress me or they're trying to do the right thing and they're, oh, what do you think of this? We found a plant-based mayonnaise. And I'll just cringe and I'll look at, you know, I'll just show them the ingredients and I'll just say, you know, really? Really, this is really bad. And one of my friends had these plant-based chickpea, you know, harvest fresh things, and they were like chisels. And
oh,
he just groaned and he said, oh, so I might as well just be eating the real chips because they're much better anyway. They said, you might as well.
Oh, no. Okay, so, yes, avoid the things that say vegan.
Look,
especially in a package.
Well, I think this is why it has to be real food.
Yes.
You know, anything with lots of ingredients is never going to be good for you. Seriously.
True. Whole foods are the way to go. Now, I guess on that, are there any things that you should be aware of when you are reading the labels on food? So assuming that we're getting packaged food where there is a label, and obviously in the vegan area, when you are even getting things like sauces, a sauce to put in a stir fry, you know, very basic thing that you might think nothing of, when you're looking at those labels, and I know I've done this quite a lot, what are the things that you should be aware of for those basic sort of staples that you might include in your day-to-day diet?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is making sure there's not too many ingredients,
right?
You know, and if you see canola oil, just let it bounce straight back onto the shelf.
Run right away.
Seriously. Run away. And really, it is the oil. It is the fat. Those liquid oils, just the worst.
Okay.
And, you know, not only from a weight loss perspective, but, you know, they're so inflammatory and just nasty. I'd always look at not only the ingredients themselves, but then how much is in there as well. I think this is a real trap where we go for, you know, the plant-based snacks. Really, they're just a high-fat snack.
So you look at the percentages of sugars and oils and things like that. Is that what you mean?
I do, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, sometimes we've been very educated about sugar, which is great. You know, the whole sugar movement, I quit sugar movement, made us aware. But I think we threw the baby out with the bathwater. We threw whole fruit out, which is a real shame. But what it's done is it's made us look at the ingredients list or look at the, you know, the percentages. And if we see a lot of sugar, we put it back on the shelf. But in actual fact, we need to be also looking at the fat. because sometimes we can get a product and it's low sugar, but it's really high in fat. So yeah, it does take a bit of juggling and, you know, making those educated decisions about, okay, is this worth it, is it not?
Yes. And you see that, I think, as well with the term light, whether they spell it L-I-T-E or L-I-G-H-T. Yes. Again, it's, you know, that sugar-fat ratio. Oftentimes when the fat's reduced, the sugar's up to make it taste better. So it is a little bit of a balancing act. And you do really have to be careful when you are reading those labels. And as you said, just look at those percentages, which can be quite frightening. In your experience, how has a vegan diet impacted someone's health the most drastically?
Oh, this is such an exciting question, because I just got the best job. I get, you know, I've had just recently a client, a middle-aged lady who had been on paleo for years. Her weight had not budged and she really needed to shift some weight. She was very inflamed. And 3 weeks, she'd lost 2 kilos and her pain had gone away. And, you know, this is the really exciting thing about introducing more plants, because we just don't realise how inflammatory dairy and meat are. And so, you know, we have all these aches and pains and we just think, and we don't relate it to our diet. I think we've got so many symptoms that we don't relate to our diet. And yet, when you do the experiment and you cut out something, you know, whether it's coffee, you know, I just have recently done another coffee experiment. I'm on my third month and I think I've actually done my dash this time and I won't be going back full time, you know, to daily. Wow. Because I'm sleeping better. I'm clearer. I don't need a nana nap. And we forget that coffee is a stressor, makes your body release cortisol. So you do the up and the down. And so the down was obviously, you know, because I'd have my coffee about 9:30, 10, I was needing a nana nap after lunch. I don't anymore. It's like amazing. I've had a client, a male client, who I don't often work with men, but he went plant-based. He was like very athletic, you know, riding 80 kilometers, you know, a couple of times a week. And he moved over to plant-based and he's overtaking the young fellas now. Wow. And so he's just got more energy and more stamina. I've had another young fella, this is sort of a family one, terrible acne. And we put him on plants, a low-fat plant-based, and within days, he was starting to see it heal up. And he'd done 2 weeks. It had really almost cleared. And then he had a weekend where he wasn't planned. It had a mate's place. And so in came the bacon and eggs and all the rubbish. Monday, back again. So I think that's really exciting to hear those stories, because it has such an impact. And I know for me, I breeze through menopause. You know, menopause just was really just a little tiny blip on the radar. I find it, you know, now that I'm 100%, so much easier to manage my weight and never feel deprived, because you can eat so much on a plant-based diet.
That's fantastic. Now, in terms of that athlete, that's a really interesting concept. So would you suggest that when you are whole foods, plant-based, that bioavailability, the availability to get those nutrients into your muscles, into your system, would you think that that's actually increased when you are, your system's cleaner with a plant-based diet?
Absolutely. But don't take my word for it. Go and watch the documentary called The Game Changers.
Yes.
It's a game changer.
I've definitely seen that one. But look, again, you know, the inflammation when you are talking about athletes is quite considerable. So if they do have an injury, that inflammation, and that's really interesting that, you know, you were talking about that, the fact that that went down, because that's a really important factor for any of those injuries. And also the precursor to all disease is inflammation.
Absolutely.
You know, if you can reduce the inflammation, then that's incredible. The skin as well, you know, the acne and the teenagers, again, sort of just slight modifications to your diet. And you see the difference when you actually have that binge weekend and you're not as clean, eating as clean as it was previously. Yeah. Those are incredible stories, and they certainly are good stories to sort of convince people that they should maybe try the plant-based diet and see how it works for them.
Yeah, just doing an experiment. You know, when I stopped drinking alcohol when I got breast cancer, and, you know, I was a social drinker. I actually didn't know how you did social events without alcohol. And I remember thinking, you know, this is ridiculous. You've had breast cancer, and the link between breast cancer and alcohol is as strong as the link between smoking and lung cancer.
Okay.
And so I decided that what I would do is I wouldn't tell myself I wasn't going to, you know, not drink forever. But what I did was, when I went to an event, the first drink had to be non-alcoholic. And what I found is, after that first drink, I actually didn't want one. And so it was actually an easier adjustment than I thought it would be. And, you know, now I'm 7 years on and I love the freedom of not drinking alcohol.
Perfect. And you'd be so much healthier for that as well.
Oh, so much. So much. Yeah. We don't really realise the devastating effect that alcohol has on our health, especially as women. It's just no wins at all with it.
Well, your mental health as well, because, you know, oftentimes that alcohol, as you were saying, in the social setting, it goes hand in hand with sort of as a coping mechanism for other problems that might be going on as well. It sort of masks other things that perhaps should be looked at. So if you take the alcohol away, you sort of strip back those layers so you can actually get a little clarity on some other things that you might need to be looking at. Well, that's incredible. Yeah. So, all right, let's ask you a couple of personal questions now. And they don't have to be plant-based, of course, but what are you reading at the moment?
That's a really funny question, because I don't have a novel at the moment. So okay. I'm actually reading my Bible at the moment, which Perfect. Is interesting.
There's some great stories in the Bible.
Well, yes, and especially the time that we're going through at the moment. It's very
it is biblical, and there's probably lots of relevant sections in there.
Very relevant, yes. But the Audible book that I'm listening to, so I love jumping into my car and listening to something. I've just finished listening to Plant Proof by Simon Hill. And I highly recommend that. He's an Australian and his book is just so incredibly well researched. It is highly worth it. And so is his podcast. I listen to his podcast as well. Very informative.
Fantastic. Well, that's a very good recommendation. All right. Now, another personal question. When was the last time that you did something for the first time, and what was it, please?
I'm so glad I've done something recently.
Rack your brain. What have I done? I've done something.
I am very much I don't want to regret. I do things rather than regretting. And I went away a couple of weekends ago, and there was a rope that you could, a big thick rope that you could swing off and then let go and you know, jump into the river. And I was looking at it and I thought, oh, have I got the courage to do that? Anyway, there was another couple there my age and they were like, yep, come on, we're doing it. And so it was so much fun and, I loved it. It might seem little, but it was just, you know, one of those things, and especially as we get older, I think we, you know, I know I could easily wrap myself up in cotton wool sometimes, and it's great to be throw caution to the wind and do something a bit different.
That sounds very different, and I love the fact that you did it. That would have been amazing. I can't imagine. I can't remember when I've done that before, so that would have been an incredible experience. Fantastic. So any other things that you'd like to add about plant food way of living?
I think that I love to remind people that it's not a diet. It's not an all or nothing way of eating. I love helping people just do that step by step, slow integration, and then you can make it a lifestyle. And there's also a lot of reprogramming that we have to do, because especially by our age, which is midlife, we've been exposed to a lot of diets, done a lot of diets, and there's a lot of agenda-driven marketing, and you know, it can make us very fearful about certain things. And so I like to, you know, allay those fears and just to help people find habits that are going to make choosing plants easier. I work with clients to make sure that everything we do is easy for them and their lifestyle and their capabilities, and yeah, it just has to flow. And so we get out of the diet thinking this is a diet and understand that this is how we want to eat the rest of our life, to, you know, to release the unwanted weight, to regulate our hormones, to boost our immunity. I mean, one of the things that we didn't mention here, I can't believe it, is that it's only plants that contain fiber, and it's only fiber that feeds our good gut bacteria, where 80% of our immunity is. So it's vital that even if you don't go 100% plant-based, you know, which the Blue Zone studies show us that we don't have to, but eating more plants is just going to be beneficial for every aspect of your health.
Incredible. Yes, immunity. And absolutely, that is one of the biggest things that you would have noticed in all those stories that you were talking about earlier, is when you increase that good bacteria, you sort of make that balance, put it back into balance, because inflammation is the opposite of that. It's when you've got the bad bacteria that are actually out of balance. And the immune system is something that we don't talk about enough. It is certainly something that is increased with plant-based diets. I didn't notice too much for myself in terms, because I've always had, you know, a very strong immune system. I've never had any issues with sicknesses, colds, flus, whatever goes around. I just don't get it. But certainly with plant-based, notice that the inflammation is less. And I notice it, for example, in my knees, because I've had two knee surgeries on the same knee. And you definitely notice the reduction in the inflammation when you aren't having the dairy and meat and animal products. So it's a definite game changer when you do have injuries that you know from previously were more inflamed. So absolutely, 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you think about how many people struggle with rheumatoid arthritis and all sorts of aches and pains that could be eliminated, or at least, you know, heavily reduced if they would just eat more plant-based.
Absolutely. Well, I know that came up on scans, because they do scans. I think they did them the last time before I had surgery. And yes, they always see, because you've had previous bone injuries and screws and bolts and what have you, and you definitely see indications of osteoarthritis there, but you wouldn't know it with plant-based diet. Mm. Certainly the inflammation's not there. Nick, thank you so much for taking the time. I mean, honestly, we've dispelled some big myths here in this podcast. And how can people get in touch with you?
You can follow me on Naturally Nick. If you Google naturallynick.com.au, Naturally Nick Plant-Based Dietitian, you'll find me on my website, Instagram, Facebook. I've got a heap of videos on YouTube, Naturally Nick YouTube. I did quite a fun series of 10 different vegetables and doing 4 different recipes for each vegetable. Because I think that when someone, dietitian, tells you to eat more vegetables, most people just stop at steamed veggies and think, oh my gosh, how boring. So I totally busted that one and did this series. And so, yeah, go and check that out and be inspired to eat vegetables some different ways other than just steamed.
I know. Look, I will definitely put the links below the podcast here so people can get in touch with you, and especially those videos, because I've watched some of those shows that you've recorded and they are incredible for recipes, because you do. Oftentimes when you are cooking all the time, even myself as a vegan 2 years in, come up with what am I going to do tonight? So watching those recipes is great for inspiration. So we'll put all the links below the podcast so people can go and check out where to find you and follow your recipes, and they can get in touch with you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope you learned something new today. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at www.ivfcoachingclinic.com.au or our Facebook page, IVF Coaching Clinic, where you can talk to Sophia directly and find out more information about coaching and how it can assist you further. Until next time.